You know, if Gwen was in this episode, Joey would never have chosen Pacey.
Oh my God.
Over Gwen's dead, decaying corpse, would that happen?
Dawson is emotionally holding Joey captive, where Gwen would have physically put her in the basement and chained her to the radiator.
It would be like Misery.
What is it? Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom.
Back to you, Bob.
Hello, and welcome to Back to You, Baba, Dawson's Creek podcast. We are your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 323, True Love, which originally aired on May 24th, 2000.
Oh, boy.
It's the finale, bitch.
What a night. What a night. I probably ordered Chinese, and I was sitting in my bed just eating tons of General Tso's chicken and white rice, and I was probably just so nervous.
I was like, Mom, stop talking. Dawson's Creek is coming on.
That's what I used to do for like every big TV event. I used to get Chinese food.
Really wonderful. I didn't discover General Tso's until like college. I wish I knew about General Tso's.
But like, why don't they have it out here?
There is no good Chinese food in LA. It's a real problem. Why aren't people talking about this?
Not even like I can find bad General Tso's chicken. I literally can't find General Tso's. They're like, oh, we have orange chicken. We have lemon chicken. I'm like, it's not the same.
You're like, cool.
This is a personal attack on me. But yeah, I used to do that. And then to be disgusting, though, I would eat it in my bed.
It's fine.
Like I'd bring like a plate up to my bed. What is everyone saying now? I would hold space for Dawson's Creek. Well, it was May 24th, 2000.
It was.
We're here celebrating the season 3 finale. What a season. What should we have as our beverage today? Our Dawson's drink.
Today we're drinking the True Love. It is vodka, cherry hearing, strawberry mint cordial, sherry, and lemon juice. I love cherry hearing.
What are those words? What is hearing?
Cherry hearing is like a cherry liqueur. It's very syrupy. It's like a cherry syrupy thing, but it's in one of my favorite drinks, Blood and Sand. So that's why I own it. So good.
Oh, wow.
I love a vodka drink.
Well, I'm going to dive right in.
Please do.
So this is episode 323, True Love. This episode opens with Dawson and Mitch as they run into Joey and Gail on Main Street, and they're all shopping for Mitch and Gail's upcoming wedding. Yes, wedding. Dawson and Mitch have just picked up the rings, and Joey and Gail have selected their dresses. Joey's the maid of honor, and Dawson will be the best man. Dawson and Joey promise not to let their recent drama overshadow the wedding, which they both agree is more important. Meanwhile, Pacey is gearing up for a summer sailing trip to the Florida Keys aboard his boat, the True Love. And he's gotten his parents' approval, but right now, Doug believes Pacey is running away from Joey, and he urges him to be honest with her one last time, suggesting that Joey might even ask him to stay. Andy visits Dawson to have him sign her yearbook. She admits that she too is still hurt by the whole Pacey and Joey situation, but she reminds Dawson that his history with Pacey runs deep. She believes one of them will have to make the first move towards reconciliation. She also reveals Pacey's plans to leave, but Dawson feels that forgiveness is highly unlikely before Pacey's departure. Joey learns of Pacey's trip from Doug, who pulls Joey over as a big ruse to tell her this. And Joey confronts Pacey, and she's rather upset. She's upset that he planned to leave without saying goodbye. Pacey explains that staying in Capeside this summer would mean watching Joey and Dawson rebuild their relationship, which he absolutely cannot bear to watch. Joey accuses him of running away and giving up, while Pacey counters that her unfinished wall symbolizes their unresolved relationship, something she hasn't committed to finishing either. At Mitch and Gail's rehearsal dinner, Dawson accuses Joey of being emotionally distant, suggesting that she would rather be at Pacey's goodbye party than at the wedding festivities. Joey denies it, but later confesses to Dawson that while she chose to dump Pacey because Dawson and his family feel like home, she's unsure if she did it out of obligation or not. She admits that if she had the freedom to do it over, she might not have ended things with Pacey. She feels like Dawson deserves to know this and to know how conflicted she is. Meanwhile, when it comes to Jen and Henry, they're still clashing over the bombshell Henry dropped at prom, that he's going to football camp for the entire summer. With Jack playing mediator, the tensions escalate until Jack forces them to talk directly. Jen tells Henry she regrets ever meeting him. At Pacey's goodbye party, Jen, Andy, and Jack bond over their shared singlehood, prompting Grams to share a story about young love. She recalls traveling across the country to see a boy before he shipped off to war. He died shortly after, but she has no regrets because she seized the moment, unlike them, she predicts. Inspired, Grams, on the drive home, turns the car around and promises to catch Henry's bus before it goes to camp, urging Jen to say everything she needs to before it's too late. At the same time, Dawson asks Joey to run an errand for Bessie. Joey later discovers that it's all a ruse set up by Pacey, who called Bessie to orchestrate it. Pacey takes Joey to her wall, where he's painted the words, "Ask me to stay." When Joey demands to know what that means, Pacey admits that leaving would mean giving up on her in their relationship. She's right, and he's not ready to do that. However, he needs to know that she isn't ready to give up on it either, and asking him to stay would prove that. Back on the road, Grams, Jen, Jack, and Andy finally find Henry's bus at a rest stop. Jen publicly declares her love, saying she's never felt this way before, and she doesn't want to regret letting him go. They reconcile with a kiss, and emboldened by Jen's success, the group drives to Boston so Jack can confess his feelings to Ethan. Jack finds Ethan on the quad, and he declares his feelings for him, and he kisses him, only to discover that Ethan is already in a relationship. Heartbroken, Jack finds unexpected comfort in his dad, who reassures him that while being gay might come with challenges, they'll face them together. This conversation marks a turning point in their relationship, and Jack allows himself to be comforted by his dad as he grieves his relationship with Ethan. Mitch and Gail's wedding day brings a lot of emotions to a head. Pacey attends, but he keeps his distance from Dawson. Joey tells Pacey that she cannot give him a reason to stay because she's still working through all of her feelings for him and for Dawson. Pacey takes that as confirmation. That's her choice. It's not him. Joey reluctantly agrees. Later, Pacey tells Dawson about Joey's decision, and they acknowledge that their friendship may never recover from this. While dancing, Joey and Dawson discuss their summer plans. Dawson's happy because he feels like Joey has chosen him. But as she talks, her face drops, and she seems sad. Dawson registers this. And during his best man speech, Dawson says that he's so grateful to be here for Mitch and Gail's second wedding and their second marriage. They and their relationship have taught him that true love doesn't conquer all. True love does end, but it always starts again. Later, Dawson tells Joey that he meant every word of his speech, and that's why Joey should go. Go with Pacey. Dawson is not going to make the same mistake he made last time when he made Joey choose between him and Paris and he asked Joey to stay. He isn't going to make a speech or a grand declaration. All that matters now is what Joey wants. Joey says she doesn't know what she wants, but Dawson knows that she does. She wants Pacey. She wants Pacey the way Dawson wants her, and Dawson's not going to be the one to stand in the way of that this time. Dawson thinks Joey deserves love and says she's free. Joey wants to stay friends and she's very worried about their friendship, but Dawson says those are just words and they don't mean anything because when she's done saying them, she'll just turn around and leave. Joey says she has to try with Pacey or else she'll never know. And that's when Dawson just says, "Leave. Go. Go before I regret it." And that's when Joey runs off, leaving Dawson crying on the dock. And she runs right past Mitch and Gail on her way. When Dawson returns to his room, he finds Jen, Jack, and Andy, who promise to cheer him up and refuse to let him be alone right now. They are his official pick-me-up posse, and they promise him a summer of fun. Joey finds Pacey as he's packing up the boat, and she says she thinks she's in love with him. And he asks, "You think or you know?" And she says, "I know." She's known it since the moment he's kissed her, and she doesn't want to run from it anymore. She says she wants to come with him. She asks permission to come aboard, and he reaches out his hand for hers. She jumps aboard, and the two sail off into the sunset. And that is a wrap on season 3 of Dawson's Creek. Wow.
Ask me to stay.
Ask me to stay.
So good.
Who wrote the season finale of Dawson's Creek season 3?
This episode was written by Gina Fattori and Tom Kapanos, the dream team.
Our faves.
As we learned in our interview with Gina, they had their hands in most episodes this season, so it's perfectly fitting that they wrote this episode. Gina was last with us on episode 320, The Longest Day. Tom was last with us on episode 319, Stolen Kisses. And the pair of them were first with us together on episode 305, Indian Summer. So you can go back and listen to that episode if you want to hear more about their career.
Yeah, they work really well together.
Really, really well.
Seamless, flawless. Love their relationship. Love their friendship. And as we know, and as we've discussed, he hired her later on Californication, right?
Yeah.
Who directed it?
It was directed by James Whitmore Jr. James was last with us on episode 309, Four to Tango. Such a good episode. It feels like it was the inception of Pacey Joey a little bit. Those were like the early rumblings. So it feels appropriate that he's here now. And he was first with us on episode 210, High Risk Behavior.
I definitely recognized the name when I saw it. I try not to look at the director and the writer because I like to be surprised when you tell me, but I did catch it.
Yeah, this was a great episode. And it feels like the end of this season, we're very out and about. We're like not in our usual interior house, interior school. Like we're out on the town, we're out on the streets. This one felt very much so the same. At the docks, as you say. So he did a great job.
A lot of exteriors, a lot of location shoots. I like that this episode had that sense of, you know, when you're that age and it's like late May, you're all just so excited for summer and like hearing them talk about summer and their summer plans. Do you know what I mean? It's just kind of like Jen and Henry know they're going to spend the summer apart. Dawson's going to spend the summer with Andy, Jen, and Jack. Just knowing like their summer plans and like I'm on the verge of making summer plans. There was something just very like exciting about it.
For sure, for sure.
About guest cast. Shout out.
I'm going to give the guest cast shout out to Burgess Jenkins playing Brad, who is Ethan's boyfriend. I don't know if you recognized him or not. As soon as he popped up on the screen, I was like, I know this guy. I can't tell you why, but I know him. And it's because he's a real actor. This was his very first credit, which I love. Truly Born from Dawson's Creek. I personally know him best from Remember the Titans. He played Ray. He was like I don't want to say the bad guy, but he was the guy on the team who like wasn't going along with having a black coach. And when everybody else, the tides were kind of turning, he was digging his heels in and they ended up cutting him from the team. But he's been in tons of stuff. He had an 8-episode arc on One Tree Hill. He had 3 episodes of Nashville, 14 episodes of Army Wives. He was a regular on Young and the Restless. And he is currently on the show Blue Ridge, which we actually talked about a couple episodes ago with Sarah Lancaster, who was in episode 319 playing Shelley. So they are in that show together right now.
Lots of little crossover there.
Indeed.
That's great. I did not recognize him, but that's good to know.
No?
I mean, he looked familiar, but I just thought he had one of those faces, you know?
Yeah.
Like he looked like the everyman.
He does, very much.
Well, we love that.
What about music moment?
Music moment for me is going to be Pancho's Lament, that song that plays when Pacey has painted Ask Me to Stay on the wall.
It's called Promise Me This by Pancho's Lament.
Promise Me This. And then there's some Janice Ian in there.
So good. That's mine too. The Days Like These, Janice Ian.
Days Like These, yeah.
And also the song, there's a Better Days song called Walking in My Sleep, which is a song when they pull up on the bus.
Yeah.
That when it came on, like I never would have been able to tell you before watching the episode about it. But when it came on, I was like, oh my God, I remember this so well.
Great music episode.
When I think of this episode, I think of Days Like These.
Days Like.
Because it plays over the wedding and then it plays over when they leave at the end of the episode. Ugh.
When the boat's sailing away. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, babe.
So good. Okay. So past versus present. What do you got?
It's not so much about this episode in particular, but it did kind of hit me in this episode that all this time I thought that I hated Dawson. Let me put it this way. It took me 3 seasons of doing this podcast and you talking to me about this very point to realize that I don't actually hate Dawson. I hate James Vanderbeek's delivery of Dawson.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this episode, when Dawson is talking to Joey and he's like, it's not me. Like, if you don't want to be here, you should just leave. He's giving this whole little like monologue to her. And I was getting so angry and I was like, ugh, I hate Dawson. He's so annoying. But then I like stripped away the performance of it and just like played back the words in my head. And I was like, no, written down. Like, if you just look at the words and like what he's saying, he's being very rational. Like he was kind of like, hey, look, like it's not me. You should go be with him. If that's where you want to be, that's where you should be. Like, don't just be here to placate me, basically.
Are you talking about the doc scene or are you talking about the rehearsal dinner scene?
Rehearsal dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, go to the goodbye party. There's somewhere else you'd rather be. If a normal human was saying that, you'd be like, okay. But James Vanderbeek, like, he's so pointed and aggressive. I don't know.
I see what you're saying. The line where he was like, why are you doing this to me? Yeah. We'll go through it. But I know the line you mean, where they just, the parents ran inside and he's just like, you're mentally not here.
Yeah.
And right. Don't pity me. Don't put me through this. Just if you want to go, just go. Like, having a feet in both worlds is not doing me any favors.
And I feel like there's a softer delivery of that where it comes off very mature, but his delivery comes off so grating and like self-involved that I'm just like, get out of here.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just think that maybe the writing for Dawson is much more gentle. And then the filter of James Vanderbeek just makes it a little more rough around the edges.
Well, I will say the good news is I do think this episode is end of Petulant Dawson. I mean, I might be wrong.
Fingers crossed.
But I think seasons 4 through 6, he levels up a little bit and Dawson's a little more. I think James made a conscious choice to portray Dawson post first real heartbreak. Like, he's a little colder. He's a little, I don't want to say dead inside, but something, you know, he's not as reactive. He's a little neutered or
a little less of a live wire.
He has his moments, but I think they're much fewer and farther between.
What about you?
My past versus present is that I do not remember Pacey being at this wedding. I totally mentally blocked Pacey being out of Mitch and Gail's wedding.
I really liked that.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked that too.
Since we're talking about it, I also really liked that Bessie and Bodhi were in the crowd and they're not in the episode.
Yeah.
It just makes it feel so much more real. I love that they're like just sprinkling these characters in.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times they wouldn't want to pay them to appear in the episode if they didn't have a part in the episode. So I appreciated it.
Love it. I guess that's it. Should we just dive in then?
Let's dive in.
The wedding party is shopping on Main Street. Mitch and Dawson are looking for rings and Joey and Gail just got their dresses.
I love that Joey is her maid of honor.
What are your thoughts on that? Because that was my next question.
I love it. I really do. I think it's super cute. Since they don't have like a separate conversation about it, it's hard to know her intentions. But I think just based on what we've seen of Joey and Gail throughout the last two seasons, like I think she really is like a daughter to her. And I think it's sweet. She was probably like, we want to keep it low key. We'll just have Dawson and Joey. I don't know. I like it. What do you think?
Yeah, I hope that's what it was.
You think it was manipulative?
No. I hope it was like, she's like a daughter, you know, let's do it. But I do think we should have seen it because I think it's weird. I think it's weird that a 45-year-old woman's having a 16-year-old girl be her maid of honor. I mean, I just think we needed to see it.
Well, Tom's dead, so it couldn't have been Tom and Megan.
Tom? It cannot be Tom. Hopefully Megan was there. I didn't even look for her. Didn't even look for her in the crowd.
She can't come. She doesn't even know they're divorced.
Oh my God, that's right. They kept the truth from Megan because they didn't want to upset her.
God bless.
Sorry, Megan. Dawson and Joey are not going to let their drama ruin this wedding. Yeah, right.
I roll.
As she runs by their wedding car on the way to the honeymoon. Almost getting hit by a tree. She has to like dodge a tree branch. Anyway, we'll get there.
Joey says, I have to go. I don't have anything blue yet. And Dawson says, shouldn't be too hard. There's a lot of that going around lately. Okay, Dawson.
Oh my God. Save it for your screenplay. A little jerk.
It did you a little jerk. I've said it before. I'll say it again. I love that Pacey has Doug to talk to. I love the Doug-Pacey dynamic this season. And I love that Doug is pushing Pacey. He's pressing him. He's like, does Joey know that how you feel? And Pacey's like, yeah, she knows. And he's like, but have you told her, like, explicitly? Because she's going to leave. You're going to see her. You're going to see her face in the stars or whatever he says.
Yeah. Well, every night you look up at the stars, you'll see her face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Doug is getting in the mix and getting in the mess.
And I love that.
Doug has had mixed messages because when it was just a kiss, Doug was really supportive. But then when it was going on for a few weeks, Doug was like, you're going to destroy everything. And Dawson and Joey are going to get back together at the end of this. And you're not going to have anyone because like you're keeping it a secret. And it's an affair at this point, basically. And now he's like, tell her how you feel. It might get her to stay. Doug is like giving me whiplash with this advice.
I think Pacey deciding to leave for the summer has made Doug be like, okay, I got to get this back on the rails.
Doug is a romantic. And then Pacey's like, you've been watching too many Katharine Hepburn movies.
Classic.
Classic Dougie.
I love something so nostalgic about this scene of Jen and Jack cleaning out their lockers. Like, end of the school year. Love
oh my
that.
God. Yeah. It was so real.
The amount of loose and multicolored papers in Jen's locker felt very real to me.
Yeah. But I never had a messy locker, though. Did you? Like, I didn't really keep anything in there. What I would do is I'd bring my book bag to school, and then I would usually put my book bag in my locker and just carry my books around that I needed for that class. Like, I wouldn't carry a bag around. So any papers I had were just in my bag.
I would often not use my locker and just carry my book bag around, I think.
Oh, your poor back.
Maybe I'm misremembering, but I did not use my locker. Also, my aunt was the librarian at my high school, so I would also occasionally just put stuff in her office because it was easier than going to my locker.
Well, well, well. Must have been nice to cheat the system. Not all of us had that luxury.
A Nepo baby.
Nepo baby.
I got an in the library.
Well, Jen wants nothing to do with Henry and his football summer camp ass. And then Henry comes up looking like a creep. I don't know what's going on with Michael Pitt in this episode. Also, he looks like 60 years old.
He does have a little bit of a hunch or
what
something.
What's happening? He's like a creep show. His hair is weird.
It was very real as well. They have this moment where they're not talking to each other and Jack's kind of talking for each of them. And he's like, I'm done with this. And Henry sacks up and goes over to Jen and they're talking. And Jen says, I'm sorry too. I'm sorry that we ever met. And he says, well, that's too bad because I'm not. You have nothing else you want to say to me? And Jen says, no, nothing. And Henry says, well, I guess that finishes that. And he kind of shuffles off. But the devastation in him when he says, well, I guess that finishes that. It did feel like a breakup.
He's about to go off to football camp. So he's like, it's now or never. And she doesn't want anything to do with him. So it's never in his eyes at this point. So that devastation is real.
Indeed.
Indeedly doodly.
Love that Andy shows up at Dawson's. It very much so reminded me of last season when she came asking about Pacey and was like fiddling with Dawson's boxers while he did the laundry.
That's what it reminded me of when she was fishing about information for from Dawson about Pacey when she wanted to start dating Pacey.
Yeah.
That's what it reminded me of.
Me too. It's almost as if they did it on purpose.
Twinning, Andy wants Dawson to sign her yearbook. And he was like, you shelled out $35 for this. It's just going to remind you of how bad of a year this was.
Basically free. Yearbooks are like $7 million now, I bet.
Not $7 million.
I love that she's doing her like classic Andy nervous giggle whenever she's like, has a plan, a scheme. She's like, ha ha, yeah, ha ha ha. Here, I saved a page for you. Ha ha ha.
I know. She's so Melissa Joan Hart and can't hardly wait.
Oh my gosh, she is.
Yeah, like in that movie, all Melissa Joan Hart wants is for like people to sign her yearbook.
And somebody throws it in the pool.
I loved when people signed my yearbook.
Same.
When you were a senior, did you get senior pictures done and then did you get little wallet-sized ones?
Mm-hmm.
Did people sign those instead of your yearbook senior year?
Both.
Oh, lucky. Because people only signed my little James Bondy headshots.
Like you had a collection, like trading cards, like your friends gave you theirs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
God, what was wrong with us? So weird. But anyway, Andy's like, Dawson, I saved a spot for you right here for you to sign. And it's like him and Pacey's face. And Dawson's like, nice try, Andy. And she's like, you know, you guys have a history and you should forgive him. And, you know, forgiveness is hard, but one of you has to make the first move. And he's like, well, it's not going to be me. Not before, you know, Pacey leaves anyway, because she has just told him that Pacey's planning to sail away.
And she says, for what it's worth, I'm not over this pain either. And I liked that. Way to go, Andy. Andy just wants the best for everyone at the end of the day.
Do you think Andy's so forgiving now? So quick to forgive because of Abby Morgan?
Ooh.
Because she knows anyone could die at any moment. Just a thought.
Really could be.
Well, Joey gets pulled over for being a little speed demon. She gets pulled over by Dougie.
Well, that's the excuse he uses. I love that. She's like, do you have a radar gun? And he goes, visual assessment.
But their interaction is really cute. It's like kind of what you were saying about Bessie and Bodie being at the wedding. It just gives that sense of like they all know each other. All their families are intertwined. She knows Dougie outside of his little job. And he loved that small town community sense.
Yeah, he's like license and registration. And she's like, are you serious? He's like, license and registration.
Right, Dougie.
And he just wants her to know that Pacey's leaving town in a couple of days, and he wanted to give her the opportunity to say something. And that's a good brother. That's a good wingman. I love that.
And she's completely floored. She's like, huh?
She's like, he's going where? He's doing what? Thanks for telling me.
He is stirring the pot in a good way.
Yeah.
Well, Joey finds Pacey after Doug has told her this, and she was just like, you're just going to leave without saying goodbye. And he was like, yeah, what am I going to do? Like, sit around all summer and watch you and Dawson from afar, like, fix your relationship? No, thanks. She accuses him of running away and giving up on them and says, you know, she hasn't worked through her feelings yet. And he's just like, well, that's funny. You know, you're accusing me of giving up on us when, like, you give up on your wall. Like, the wall is basically a metaphor for us.
She says, I thought you'd at least say goodbye. And he's like, so what? I would say goodbye and then we'd have this whole dialogue about all of these things, but really you're not going to say the one thing that I want you to say. And she's like, what's that? And he's like, you're not going to ask me to stay ever. And she's like, that's not my decision. And he goes, the thing is, it is your decision and it's always been your decision. The reason that we're not together isn't because of me, it's because of you. And whether or not you don't want to make that decision or you're not ready to make that decision doesn't matter. You asked for more time and I'm giving it to you. You have 3 months. Like, I'm leaving. I'm gone. I liked it. I thought it was a really good Pacey scene.
Yeah.
Standing his ground.
And very shallowly, he looks really buff at this scene. He has like a form-fitting navy long sleeve tee on.
His hair looks good too, which is a weird thing to say.
He got a cut for sure. Got a fresh cut.
I mean, wouldn't you if you were getting on a boat for 3 months?
Yeah.
Gotta get that haircut.
And she looks good. And she's wearing like this dark red lipstick or purple lipstick.
Mauve, perhaps.
Mauve. But they both have a little edge to them in this scene. Like, he's pissed and she's pissed, and I like it. It's just, lately it's been like she's pissed and he's
giving in to her and
just like crushing on her,
or he's like, whatever you need, Joe.
Yeah, he's had it.
He's out of here.
Okay, so this is the scene where they're outside doing the rehearsal.
Okay, so this is a scene that I was referencing in my past first present that I feel like Dawson enrages me. I wrote Dawson sucks in my notes. Like, she doesn't want you. Don't make her feel bad about that. But then when I was watching it with my eyes tuned more to the words and less to his performance of the words, I was like, it's really not that bad. It's just that James Vanderbeek is so angry and like so grating. If you have someplace you'd rather be, why don't you just go? Do I have to spell it out for you? Pacey's going away party. She says, I'm here, aren't I? And he says, yeah, in body, but not in spirit. You've got nothing positive to say. You're basically going through the motions with a scowl on your face. Dawson, I'm doing the best I can. Cut me some slack, Joey. Don't make me feel like this.
I feel like you're reading it worse than he is.
This is how I heard it.
Oh, you're doing how you heard it. Right.
Why don't you just go? Give the guy my best.
So he's emotionally manipulating her into like being present.
He is. It's tough for everybody.
He's off the rails now. He's gone crazy cuckoo.
Where are you in this scene and where were you in 2000? Still Team Dawson, still like, yeah, they do deserve all of this negativity.
In 2000, I was Team Dawson. But now I'm just like, at this point, who would even want to be with someone who doesn't want them like this? Like, good Lord. It's like humiliating.
He's fighting for something. He got what he's fighting for. That's the thing. She's there. She's there with him. She dumped Pacey. Like, this is what he asked for and he got it. And it's not what he wanted. What he wants is her to feel a certain way. And she's not ever going to do that. And she's certainly not going to do that if he's an asshole to her.
I just feel like she's clearly not into you. So...
She's not that into you, bro.
Like, just, it's humiliating at this point. That's what my biggest thing is. Like, now it's like pathetic and he looks sad. And before I was like, he should fight for her and he should win. They do a really good job of giving you little crumbs. The brilliance of these episodes, I think, are, and ultimately of the whole series, they give you little crumbs to show you where Joey's head is at and who she wants. But when you're getting them at the time, it looks like she's torn. But in retrospect, you could see she's torn, but she knows what she wants. Like, she knows what the decision is. She's just afraid to say it. But when you're watching it in real time, it looks like she's really torn between the two, but she's really not torn between the two. She's
just afraid of what she'll lose on the Dawson end. It's not that she's torn between wanting them both.
Yes. Like, there's things she said in this episode where when she says to Dawson, like, you're my true north and your family is, my family. And, I don't know whether I want to be with you or him, and whether I chose you out of obligation, or if I had to choose, if I had the freedom to really choose who, what I would choose. She's really saying in that moment, like, I would choose Pacey.
Oh my God, yeah.
But when I, watching in real time at the time, I was like, oh, she's like really torn still. She really doesn't know what she wants.
You were Dawson. You're like, yeah, so there's pretty good chance.
Yeah.
Feeling 50-50.
Yeah, like the delusion. Tallulu.
Tallulu's the Salulu. Joey is miserable. Joey looks like a battered woman. Joey is afraid. And I'm just sitting here like, what are you afraid of, Joey? What's he going to do? Whine at you?
So now we go to Pacey's goodbye party, which is sad because everyone there is sad and single. And then Grams tells a story about how she had a little romance with a guy who was going away to war. And she flew 7 hours to say goodbye to him before he deployed and kissed him. And Jen was like, I didn't know Gramps served. And she's like, not your grandfather, another boy. He died shortly after.
Thomas Culpepper.
He had the bluest eyes of any man I've ever seen.
Thomas Culpepper died in Busan.
And then doesn't she say he like died before he got off the boat?
Died before he ever touched the shore or something like that, yeah.
So she's basically saying, look, I have no regrets. I flew 7 hours and I kissed him. And she stowed away in a cargo hold of a plane. Miss Lindley.
She says, so I had 46 wonderful years with one man and one perfect kiss with another. And I have no regrets. I wonder how many of you will be able to say that.
None of them, because they're all little whiners.
They are little whiners. But you know what? I adore the fact that the going away party is just Andy, Jack, Jen, and Grams. The fact that Grams is at this going away party is amazing to me.
Why?
I just love it. Why is she there?
Because she's Grams.
How often do you see Grams and Pacey interact?
Yeah, true. It is so cute that she's there, though.
It's very cute. She departs this lesson and they're all like, yeah, we all have regrets. Literally all of them have this look of like, shit, he's right. We cut back to the party.
The rehearsal dinner?
Rehearsal dinner.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
When Joey sits on the dock,
mm-hmm,
at the tip of Dawson's dock, there's a house across the creek. Has that always been there and I've never noticed it?
Oh, wow. It's right there.
It's right there.
I don't know.
James looks really good in this dock scene. He's hitting the weights. His shoulders are slanted. His shoulders are broad. His neck is giving varsity blue.
Oh, man. Shoulders slanted.
Doesn't that mean if your shoulders are slanted, you've been working out your shoulders a lot?
I don't know.
I think so. I think that's what it means.
Okay.
Because like my shoulders are very broad, but if I worked them out, I'd probably go like this more.
I don't know.
Well, just look at his shoulders and his little tight little shirt.
Oh, I see him, baby.
When he first sits, those aren't the shoulders of a man who's never seen a gym.
Now, hold on. You hold on just 1 second. Let me ask you, are there multiple, there are multiple docks at Dawson's house or what?
I don't know. Right? There's something about the scene that's so weird. It's like a different dock or something. Even the direction of it seems weird.
Because there is definitely like more of a waterway dock that's like small, tie up the boat type situation where Joey usually gets off the boat that I think is not this dock.
Yeah, like a shorter dock.
Yeah, without those lights. Right?
I think this blew my mind. I was like, what dock are they on? That's clearly Dawson's house in the background. But whose house is that? Whose cute little blue house is that?
Who are you? Identify yourself. I don't know, man.
Well, shit.
Good question. Somebody let us know.
Let us know, yo.
So Dawson comes out to meet Joey on this mystery dock. And old slanty shoulders comes strolling up and says, Bessie called. She wants you to stop at the store on your way home. That's his way in. He brings up the afternoon, tells her he doesn't want to fight. And this is when she launches into the speech that you talked about earlier, where she says, look, I called things off with Pacey because I don't want to lose you. But if there's a chance that you wouldn't be mad and I wouldn't lose you, I probably wouldn't have called things off with Pacey. Basically, that's all I needed to hear.
Yeah, it's clear. Now I'm just wondering, do you think they go out of their way not to make Dawson hot? He looks pretty good here. I don't know. Maybe the character is not supposed to be hot.
You think they play him down?
Maybe. Why would they put him in all these baggy clothes if he has that underneath?
Well, as I brought up in season one and you told me I was a perv, we almost never see Dawson without a shirt on.
I think we do it actually in the season 4 premiere.
Well, we see him season two, he goes skinny dipping with Jen. So we do see his shoulders up. And in season three, Eve unbuttons his shirt when they're making out at the assembly.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a good bod. So Graham's, they're on the way home from Pacey's goodbye party. And Jen is like, I'm so sad. I have so many, you know, she's basically saying what Graham said, which is that she's going to have regrets and she's going to miss Henry, all these things. Graham spins the car, hits a Yui, knocks over garbage cans. Graham's is wild.
Graham's isn't messing around. She's like, no granddaughter of mine will have regrets. I kiss Thomas Culpepper. We can find you a bus. Easy.
So they basically retrace the route the bus would take, I guess, which is crazy.
It is crazy, but she's ready. She's like, you know what?
Do you know how many possible routes there are?
It's nighttime. Who cares? We don't need to sleep. Let's go. We're not waiting until morning. They'll be gone by then.
But they are gone. The bus left.
Yeah, but a bus can't go that fast. Grams's car could catch up.
They're taking the route that they think the bus would take.
Maybe there's only one way to camp.
Oh my god. No, I mean, I hate when people like poke out stupid plot holes like that in this show. I think it's funny. I think it's great. But they're like trying to catch up to the bus. The bus has left, right? Because they find him at a rest stop.
Oh yeah. No, they're gone. They're on the road. And also, did the bus drive all night? Good question. No way to know for sure. The next scene, Joey is walking downtown with a little bag as per the phone call from Bessie in the previous scene with Dawson. She's carrying a little bag and she comes across her wall. And what does it say?
Ask me to stay.
Ugh. Ask me to stay. And then Pacey walks up with paint all over his face and his hands and says, thanks, I got thirsty. And Joey is so confused. And he's like, I called Bessie. Bessie called you. You brought me this milk. And he says, you were right. I'm not prepared to give up. This is me not giving up. The ball's in your court.
Yes. Me leaving is giving up on us. I'm not ready to give up. And I need to know that you're not ready to do that. So if you ask me to stay, then I'll know that like you want to fight for this and I'll fight for this too.
And this is very in line with their dynamic so far in the last like five episodes or whatever, where he's like, you can't say that and ask me not to kiss you. So I'm going to kiss you. If you don't want me to kiss you, you need to tell me. Here's your 10 seconds. And then it was, I've kissed you twice. I'm not going to kiss you again. If you want to go forward with this, you have to kiss me. And she does. So it's just very much so that like Pacey keeps putting himself out there and then eventually hits his wall. And then he's like, all right, here I am. Like, I've done all I can do. Now it's your turn to pick up the slack. So will she pick it up?
Yeah, he wants some reciprocity. He doesn't want to be the one pursuing her all the time when she's like not interested. The complete opposite of Dawson. Dawson's like dragging her around and he's just like, meet me halfway, like Fergie Ferg in the Black Eyed Peas.
Amy, why don't you just meet me in the middle?
That's not her.
I know that's not the song you were talking about, but that's the song that I thought of.
That's what's her name?
Yeah, I never know her name.
She's so good. So good. We don't know her name. Has anyone ever asked you to stay anywhere? No one's ever asked me to stay anywhere. People have told me to leave.
I would prefer if you didn't stay
here or anywhere. It's fine.
My high school boyfriend certainly didn't want me to go to college, but...
You did. Your love didn't survive.
It didn't. So then we go to the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Did the wind drive you crazy? This is crazy. The first time.
Crazy.
This is the first time that I've been like, oh man, it's so windy. I bet Micah's losing his mind.
It's so windy. This cast, like props to this cast. They must be so cold.
And just annoying. Wind is so annoying to me.
For audio, I'm sure. Yeah.
No, just like even as a human.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But what are you going to do? I mean, Gail, not to be crude, but Gail's nipples are popping. She's probably freezing.
You know, I didn't want to say that, but I noticed it.
Shish.
Because it almost looks like she's holding in a shiver.
Yeah, it's cold.
She looks freezing.
Oh, also one other thing that I forgot to mention in the previous scene with Joey and Pacey. Pacey has a huge egg on his head. Like, it looks like he got, like, knocked out with something. Did you notice?
I noticed that.
It's really weird.
Yeah, the only reason I really think I noticed is because of the paint marks all over his face.
Yeah.
I was following those, like, looking at his face, and then, yeah, I noticed, like, a bump.
He has a big bump on, like, his temple. And I feel like that's the kind of thing that now we would be, like, not think twice about painting out with visual effects.
Yeah. Back to the cult. After Mitch and Gil kiss, Mary Margaret is freezing. You can see it. But there's a huge gust of wind and she's like shivering. Did you ever hear that you should never wear... Oh, it's you should never wear red to a funeral, right? You should never wear white to a wedding.
Should never wear white to a wedding.
Well, whatever Betsy's wearing, I don't know what's happening.
Betsy's looks like she's going to teach kindergarten.
She looks like she's at Pee Wee's Playhouse. She has a turquoise skirt, burgundy shirt, and a yellow cardigan. I don't know who dressed her. I guess Alexander. I don't know what's happening there.
You know the Potters.
Eclectic. Oh my God. Jinx. Eclectic. Well, Grams has been driving all night.
Now, look. Hold on. Now, look at the end of the dock in this scene. Do you see a house?
Well, it's a different angle, so I don't know. It's just so hard to tell. It looks like a different exterior. I don't know. It's something weird is happening this episode. It doesn't look like the normal creek, does it?
We're in bizarro world.
It doesn't look like the normal Leary yard to me. I don't know.
Something's off.
But Mitch and Gil get married, and it's cute. And then poor Grams, who's been driving all night, they finally find Henry at a rest stop, which is also on the water.
Yeah, there's only one way. Follow the water until you get to football camp.
She tries to go into the men's room at the rest stop, and the coach is like, you can't go in there. And she finds him. She says, you know, when you have real love like this, everything feels new, no matter how jaded you are or how bitter you are, like me. And when you find real love like this, in a lot of ways, it's like you're a virgin again. And in that way, I'm more of an emotional virgin than you are. And he's like, thanks for announcing to everyone that I'm a virgin.
The whole team is like, ooh.
Yeah, like all those guys have had sex. Give me a break. Freaking 15-year-olds, little pervs. And then they make out and they all like, oh, it makes me so uncomfortable. And like there's a kissing scene and all these men are like, yeah, it's just weird.
Get it, Henry.
Yeah, I don't like that.
They're all circled around.
I don't like that at all. It gives me weird
gangbang vibes.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
Then this is one of my favorite scenes of the episode. We go back to the wedding. Pacey's standing there watching Joey. Joey comes over and is like, I can't do it. I can't ask you to stay. And he's like, all right, that's all I needed to know. I'm out of here. Dawson comes out, sees them talking and says, what are you doing here? Basically to Pacey. Pacey's like, I'm just here for your parents, Dawson. And he's like, I'll send them your best. Like, leave, basically.
Very weird.
What an ass.
Yeah.
I just love how Joshua Jackson looks at her in this scene.
How does he look at her?
Heartbroken, but also...
in love.
In love and relieved to have an answer from her, I think. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And he's like, well, you should have told me months ago. You would have saved all of us a lot of pain and heartbreak.
Joey says, give me that camera, Dawson. I'm going to go take some pictures or whatever she's going to do. And Pacey's like, I don't even get a goodbye. And she looks at him. And then she looks at Dawson like 2 seconds, like a quick eye flick. And she's like, goodbye. And she runs away.
It's so sad. But I imagine that 2000 me was really happy this moment. I was like, ha, 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 ha. Team Dawson wins. Have fun in the Florida Keys.
Pacey congratulates him. I think some congratulations are in order. You won. She made her choice.
Pacey says something like, we're never going to get past this, are we?
And he's like, nope.
Dawson, that little bitter Betty.
That's the thing. Like, he's so mean and angry. And it's probably because in his heart, he knows she chose him. Her words and her mind chose him, but her heart did not choose him. So maybe that's what he's feeling and reacting to. But he is so miserable and Pacey is not miserable. And it should be the other way around. If Joey chose Dawson, Pacey should be sad, which he is, but he's not like miserable. And Dawson is miserable. And he's the one that she's there with, even though she's being held captive like a puppy that you hit with a newspaper.
She really is. Who would even want to be with someone under these circumstances? She's miserable.
Miserable.
I mean, I guess that's the whole journey of the episode. He realizes that. But still, have you ever liked your boyfriend's friend?
No.
Me neither.
The way you said that. Oh, no, me neither.
Have you ever, like, drove all night to go do something crazy like Jen and Jack?
That feels like I have, but I can't think of what it would be.
I have too.
What did you do?
So like my childhood best friend, my Pacey, if you will, his name is Pat. He had a girlfriend who went to Penn State main campus. So we were like 5-6 hours from there. And this was also like the one time I ever lied to my parents, which we were in like college. We were like sophomores, juniors in college. Pat decided that he wanted to like drive all night to surprise his girlfriend. And so we did the like, I'm going to tell my mom I'm sleeping at Pat's house. Pat's going to tell his dad he's sleeping in my house. Again, we were like 20. I don't know why we were doing this. And we did it. It was like a 5-6 hour ride. It was like pretty late. We got there in the middle of the night. And then we were going to drive back like super early. It was just like stupid college dating. Like, I just want to go and like surprise her and see her and just like spend a few hours there and we'll drive back. It was going to be a big weekend thing.
That's cute.
And then, of course, the next morning, we're like 2-3 hours from home. And then we get a call and my mom was like, where are you? And I was like, I'm at Pat's. What's up? And she's like, well, I just called Pat's dad to invite you all over for breakfast. Like, you know, and he said that you were sleeping here. So where are you?
That's so funny.
So the one time I ever lied really to my parents, I got caught, of course. And again, I was like a legal adult, but still felt like I had to lie and I still got caught.
If you had just not told them where you were, you wouldn't have been in this predicament. You didn't live at did you? Or did you?
It was the time where I was like, I don't know if it was like,
like summer or something.
Fall break. She was there during the summer or what. But yeah, so it was a drive all night situation, which was cute.
Very cute.
But they were dating. He wasn't like driving all night to like confess his feelings for her or something.
We drove all night to spring break senior year of college. We drove to ding, 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 Key West. We should have taken the true love.
Did you go there because of Pacey?
I don't know. I don't know why we went there. We just went. We camped. It was honestly so fun.
You camped?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
We did. It was so fun.
You could have gotten killed.
Well, I mean, we camped at a campsite. I mean, there were people 10 feet on either side of us.
That's even worse. They could have been the ones that did it.
Could have been. But it was a 22-hour drive and we just rotated.
I actually know that it's a 20-hour drive because I also did the drive from Syracuse, New York to West Palm Beach for spring break. And it was like 2022-ish. I didn't do any of the driving. I Googled how long it would take to sail from Boston to Key West. And it would take 7 days.
Not bad.
And I did type in a sailboat, but like, I don't know if it really gave me the sailboat time.
Sure.
This is actually the second thing I've Googled with boats today because the kids on Outer Banks sailed to Morocco. And my friend and I that watched it together, we were like, come on, how long would it take to sail to Morocco?
What is the answer?
Moving at a good speed from the Outer Banks to Morocco, it would take 31 days. But like, The show did not make it seem like it was 31 days.
But also, it's so dangerous.
You would not believe the amount of international travel these kids do, like with no passports. They just sail. They are shipwrecked. The show is insane. But I do love it.
We're talking like middle of the ocean. Those terrifying videos of those gigantic waves like eating up boats.
That's what happened. They got shipwrecked in Morocco. Did I not mention that? They were boating to Morocco, but then they got shipwrecked when they land.
Got it.
Because of a storm.
Well, thank God they didn't get shipwrecked in the middle of the ocean 15 days into their excursion.
That has happened the one season. If this is season 4, I think season 3, they got shipwrecked on some island.
Heavens.
Poglandia. They started their own little town called Poglandia.
I hate this show. I've never watched a second of it.
Out of context, I mean, even in context, it sounds crazy, but out of context, it sounds crazy.
Crazy.
Okay, where were we?
We're getting back to Jack, Jen, Grams, and Andy, and they say, Jack, it's your turn. We are not leaving you with regrets.
This is the happiest Jen Lindley has ever been.
Ever.
By the way. Like, it's weird seeing Michelle Williams, like, smile in the role of Jen. She's, like, beaming. And Jen says, what's the fastest route to Boston? Because they're going to go see Ethan. Ethan Frome. I don't know what his last name
is. Jen is literally like spinning around, smiling.
She's never been happier.
She has never been happier. Isn't Ethan Frome Simon Birch?
Ethan Frome's a book.
No, I know, but Owen Meany. Owen Meany is Simon Birch. All right.
Obvi. Can't believe you didn't know that. Mitch and Gail do not know anyone their own age. Everyone at this wedding is at least 80 years old. They're all dead now.
They just, like, the whole generation. wiped out.
When Dawson and Jerry are dancing, they're talking about like what their summer is going to be like because they didn't spend last summer together because Dawson went to Philly after he forced Joey to expose her dad as being a drug dealer. So they're talking about all the things they're going to do this summer because last summer they didn't spend it together. And Joey looks like she is being tortured, talking about her summer. Tortured.
She's got tears in her eyes. She's like, maybe we could take some day trips. He's like, yeah, maybe.
That's when Dawson clocks it. He's like, this girl is my captive. I'm holding her captive.
Literally holding back tears. Not very well.
Now, here's my thing. Ethan is in college, no?
No, he's at prep school.
In Boston?
Yeah.
But has that been the narrative so far?
I think so. And I think you've always said college.
So I've been wrong.
Because I think they're the same age.
I thought he went to the college that they went to see.
I think he just happened to be on the train from Boston.
That just pokes a hole in everything for me because I thought Ethan was supposed to be like this older, wiser gay, but they're the same age. Or maybe he's like a year or two older.
He's just a mansplainy gay.
So Ethan goes to a prep school in Boston called Bingham, Brealey, and Buckingham.
Yeah.
And Grams pulls up that little speed demon and Jack finds Ethan almost immediately.
Just happens to be sitting out on the quad. Thank goodness.
And then did you know that this is the first same-sex kiss in network television history?
I sure did. And it is anticlimactic for me.
It's not the hottest.
I mean, it's groundbreaking and it's dramatic. It's unrequited. It's Jack is finally opening himself up. He's coming to Ethan. He's saying, look, I'm ready. Like, let's do it. They have a kiss. It is, you know, it's not bad. It's just abbreviated because Ethan is like, Jack. And he's like, it doesn't matter that people are watching. Who cares? And he's like, no, this is my boyfriend, actually.
This is Brad. And Jack's like, as in your ex-boyfriend, Brad? And Brad's like, as in his boyfriend, Brad.
Watch out.
Brad's about to kick your ass. What a beautiful campus. I'd like to go there.
Love a New England campus.
Love a landscaping moment.
Love mowed grass.
I cannot believe they expect us to think this man is in high school.
Brad?
No, Ethan. This is the most egregious casting of the whole freaking show.
You think?
Yes. This man looks 60.
What about Matt Caulfield? That's a man.
That's bad. That one is bad. Wow. I cannot believe Ethan's in high school. And his leather jackets?
I don't know what to tell you.
Well, jackets is a little heartbroken and it's sad.
It is sad. But he opened himself up. He cracked himself open. And maybe it'll help him out going forward. Who knows?
Yeah, he put himself out there. That's what life's about. Now, can we talk about the centerpieces at the wedding?
We sure can.
Are those flowers in water? Like underwater?
They sure are. And they sure do have floating candles on top.
Was that like, I think I missed that era. I guess I never went to weddings then.
I can't say that I necessarily caught the floating flower era, but I do know that floating candles were a huge part of the early 2000s.
Oh my God. Yes. It was amazing.
What a bold choice.
There is a woman standing behind Gail during the speech who I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, is wearing like a full-on wedding dress. She looks like the bride. And maybe she is one.
Oh, the woman with like the Ricky Bobby sunglasses, like the wraparound Oakley sunglasses and the white dress.
Yeah, she's wearing a white dress.
Yeah, she could have chosen a different outfit.
Learn how to dress for a wedding like Bessie, you scene stealing hoe. I wonder if those people are supposed to be like Gail's sisters, Mitch's family.
Yeah, what, Gwen couldn't make the trip?
Yeah, where's Gwen? You know if Gwen was in this episode, Joey would never have chosen Bessie.
Oh my God.
Over Gwen's dead, decaying corpse would that happen?
I feel like Dawson is emotionally holding Joey captive where Gwen would have physically put her in the basement and chained her to the radiator.
Yes, it would be like Misery.
Joey broke her ankles. I put her up in your bed.
Gwen would tie her to that dock.
Would never happen on Gwen's watch.
So then Joey and Dawson kind of have a powwow on the dock. He says, you should go. You should go with Pacey. This isn't going to be like Paris. I'm not going to make you stay. I'm not going to be selfish. I'm not going to put you in that position. You know, I want you here, but you clearly don't want to be. I'm not going to make this mistake again. She says, but I don't know what I want. And he's like, you do. It's him. Just go. You want him the way I want you. I can see it. I know you. And she's just like, I want to stay friends. And he says, that doesn't matter. It's just words. Just go. At the end of these words, you'll just you'll still be gone. Just go. And she runs. And this is the birth of the Dawson crying meme, the GIF.
You know it. Everybody knows it.
Now, do you like the meme? Do you like the GIF?
I use it. And truthfully, it's a very short moment. Like, I think because of the meme and the GIF, in my mind, it was like a much larger, longer moment, but it's pretty short. It's like 2 seconds of him crying and then we're out.
So I found an article with some of the writers talking about this episode, and it's Gina, Tom, Jeff Stepakoff, and I think Greg Berlanti. And all four of them say they kind of, even though Gina and Tom got the writing credit, all four of them wrote scenes on the fly. Because as Gina talked about in her interview with us, the whole season was like kind of playing catch up. Like they never really caught up. They were always kind of behind schedule because of the mid-season like showrunner change and direction change and all of that. It was kind of like a Franken draft of a script. And so Jeffrey Stepakoff says, John Wells used to say that writing television is like improv jazz. By the time we got to the end of the season, Greg, Tom, Gina, and me, I think we had really, really good improv jazz. We were making beautiful music in the room. And then Gina says, we wrote that episode, True Love, as a group. We traded off on scenes. And then Tom says, I wrote the Dawson crying scene. Who knew back then? I actually compared the script file to the finished product. And it's pretty much word for word. I think Greg Berlanti may have tweaked a little bit of the dialogue here and there. That just goes to show that the whole season was essentially in crisis mode. We were writing stuff pretty quickly. Gina Fattori says, I was the one who was actually in Wilmington where the show was shot with the script. I was there when they shot it and I was standing in Dawson's backyard. I don't think we scripted Dawson crying as a response. As a general rule, our scripts were pretty light on stage directions. They were mostly just dialogue. And Tom Kapanos says, the script said, Joey makes a decision, a simple enough gesture, and in that single second, Dawson's reserve shatters. He can't hold it together anymore. There's a little bit more talk, and Dawson says, just go. And then Tom wrote, and he means it. Tears stream down his face. And then Joey backs away from the scene. And then Gina Fattori said, you know, anytime you go into a season finale, there's a combination of exhaustion and excitement, and it was just a hard year in so many ways. I've often found that emotions of your real life spill over into what you're making, and I know for myself, I couldn't believe that I finally made it here to this moment where we could just be standing in Dawson's backyard feeling a sense of relief that we'd actually done it and made it to the end of the season. So I was thrilled when James cried. I felt like crying myself. I was like, okay, this is great. Tom says, I don't know what it meant, you know, that intensity. Dawson was certainly an emotional character, but I didn't think of someone who would break down crying like that. Some people are ugly criers, and he was just an ugly crier. It was just so intense. I can definitely see how it took on a life of its own. So I say this to say, I did clock an article a few years ago that Dawson, James Vanderbeek, said that he just cried in the moment and he wasn't planning on it. He kind of like got caught up in the scene. And then when I did a deep dive on it, I found this article about all the writers saying that like they too were shocked by the crying. And it wasn't something that he did like take after take. It wasn't something that they rehearsed. It just kind of, he just found it in the scene. And so the GIF was born. The meme was born. But it wasn't.
Wasn't planned.
Wasn't planned.
Well, lucky us. We all got this, the meme of the century. It is a hard hitting scene. I remember watching it the first time around and just being really shocked is the wrong word, but I wasn't emotional in that because what I wanted to happen was happening, but I was surprised by the amount of emotion that Dawson was showing and surprised how mature he was being and letting her go.
I think when I first watched this, a part of me wondered if Joey was going to be too late to find Pacey.
Sure.
She runs right past Mitch and Gail's car. They're waving goodbye to everyone. It says just married on their car. Joey almost gets clocked by a tree when she's running away. And then Grams, Jen, Andy, and Jack are like pulling in. Well, actually, I think it's just Jen and Grams are just pulling in. And Jen sees Joey leaving.
She's like, uh-oh, I know what this is about.
Jack has a really good scene with his dad where he like tells his dad about his guy troubles, and he's kind of trying to pick a fight with his dad at first, but his dad like isn't having it and just says, you know, you put yourself out there, that's what people do. And Jack is like, yeah, but it's different because I'm gay, and there's a layer of difficulty, and like it's a very real scene. I totally see what Jack's saying. It's just like not everything could be just like I'm gonna put myself out there. It's a frivolous decision. It has to be such a big undertaking, and then to get rejected on top of that. There was something about Jack breaking down in his dad's arms crying, which reminded me of him breaking down in Andy's arms crying when he came out. And it was just like a nice little bookend. See how far Jack's dad has come?
Yeah, so far. And he's like, Jack's dad is like, you didn't choose to be gay and I didn't choose to have a gay son, but here we are. Like, we got to keep moving forward, kid.
Yeah. I think some people might think he's being insensitive, but I like the straight shooterness of it all. Like, I just like the matter of fact.
Yeah.
I think we need more of that, quite frankly. Not everything needs to be a thing. Like, so you just take it and move on. It is what it is.
He doesn't need to hold space for Jack to process this feeling.
I mean, look, life's life. Toughen up. I mean, it's, you know, like, you just have to take it on the chin. You got dumped. You're 16.
He's there for him, which is super cute. So then Dawson, wedding's over. Dawson goes upstairs, ready to sulk.
But guess what? No sulking today because Andy McPhee's here and Jen Lindley.
Andy McPhee will not allow it. She has organized a pickup posse.
Pick me up posse.
They brought movies.
Even the biggest Dawson haters in the world have to have a shred of compassion getting dumped at your parents' wedding.
It's a special level of
That's
bummer.
Terrible. You're always going to look back at your parents' wedding as the day you got dumped, especially Dawson will, because he's so self-involved. You know, he's not going to look back and think, oh, it's the day my parents got married. He's
going to be like, oh, the day that Joey dumped me. And they're like, oh, you mean the day we got married?
Me.
You jerk.
I mean, come on. That's brutal.
It is brutal.
Say it. Say you feel sorry for him.
I don't envy him. That's tough. Especially because you know that he was going into this day. He knew that she wasn't sure, but he did win, quote unquote. It's a real turn. The day took a turn for him.
There is something super cute, I think, of having like a new, we have like a new core four right now. And it's Jack, Jen, Andy, and Dawson. Mm-hmm. I think that's so cute. Joey and Pacey are out of here.
They got places to go.
They've been replaced with the McPhees. So it's like core 4 2.0. Okay, also Jen, I know she's like coming off of the high of Henry, but Jen looks so happy in this scene. Like, so happy.
She's like, hey, Dawson, sorry your life is shit.
But there is like a weird edit you could do, like a TikTok video or something, where like Jen has finally gotten her way and like Joey is out of the picture and like she's finally come between Dawson and Joey. Like, this is her master plan.
Plotting in the background.
Yes. Jen just looks so happy to be like the number one girl in the group. To quote Vanderpump Rules.
That's really funny.
But I love this foursome. I'm into it. And it's not that I prefer them to the original four, but this is just fresh. This is a reboot.
We've said it before and we'll say it again. Season 3 is fresh. Okay.
We can't say fresh anymore because everyone's like, you said fresh too much. Also, Dawson has a psychology book, which he has not been reading, clearly. He has a lot of work to do.
Maybe Gail slipped it in there hoping he would peruse it.
It has not been perused. It has gone unperused.
He hasn't cracked it.
We can't get ahead of ourselves. But I just love these four, like at the top of season 4. Ugh, I just love them. Because the start of season 4 is also fresh and new and exciting. And everyone has cool haircuts. Pacey has a shaved head and Dawson has long hair and everyone looks good. And I love season 4.
Joey has not washed her hair outside of the ocean water at the top of season 4.
And then they pan to the Joey Dawson portrait, which is not the real one, which someone on our Instagram had the same observation.
No, that one is the real one.
Oh my God, they switched it again?
Yes.
Oh my God, set deck, get it together.
I know.
Someone in our Instagram pointed out the same thing you did before we posted Longest Day. Someone posted that they noticed the picture is not the same moving forward. So they had the same observation that you did.
I'm glad I wasn't the only one.
Well, Joey runs like we've never seen her run before, which is saying a lot because we've seen her run a lot. But she is running with such urgency, the look on her face.
And did she?
Of course she did. She went home to change. Of course she did.
Okay.
You know what? That's always bothered me. Not bothered me, but why did they have her do that?
She went home to change, but she didn't get any clothes to take on the trip. She didn't have time for that. She didn't have time, okay?
Maybe there was a scene that was cut where she was like changing, like, and she was like on the phone being like, Pace, it's me. Don't leave. I'm coming. Let's go with that. But he makes her work for a little bit. She's like, I think I love you. He's like, think or no. She's like, no, I've always known. Ever since you kissed me, maybe before.
I've known since you kissed me, maybe even before maybe that.
Maybe forever. Maybe since that time you lost the snails, season 1.
Maybe since I realized you were watching me change in your rearview mirror.
Maybe since the time we were the sea monster and the girl in the movie. And then she tries to get on. He says, and she says, permission to come aboard. And then she gives one last look to the shore, thinking of him, Dawson.
Their little smoochy kisses when she comes on board. They like kiss a bunch of times in a row. so cute. I have cute aggression about it.
I know. And he is like her face in his hands.
Ugh. It's so cute. And when she says, I think I'm in love with you. And he says, think or no. And she says, I know. Literally watching it, got chills. Got chills to his reaction to her saying that she loved him.
Got chills this time?
This time. Yeah. Unexpected. Maybe I'm getting a cold. I'm not sure. But full body chills. Full body.
Well, look, with these winds, they might be in Key West by tomorrow. It's the windiest. Oh,
good point.
Where do you think Mitch and Gail went on their honeymoon?
Do you think Mitch still has that apartment? Maybe they just turned it into like a sex room, sex cage.
I don't know. I really don't know. I think about that apartment a lot.
Yeah.
What went on there?
We can't talk about it. That was a dark time. Miss Kennedy was around. There was lots
Miss
happening.
Kennedy. Well, guess what? That's a wrap on season 3. Can you believe it?
I truly can't believe it. This is Peak Creek. This is Peak Creek. Think about where you were going into this summer. Insane. We had to wait months for this to return.
I know. I remember vividly the season 4 promos. It was Madonna's Don't Tell Me played. Speaking of like shipwrecks, there's the promo was like a storm and there's a ship because it was like a promo for the first few episodes. And it was just like Pacey and Joey are coming home and everyone looked different. Season 4, I love personally.
It's a roller coaster.
Season 4 is really good. And I'm really excited because I remember loving it, but I don't remember it in detail vividly like I do seasons 1 through 3.
Yeah.
Watching it's going to be really interesting.
Insane that we're halfway through.
We're halfway through the series. We're halfway through the pod. Like, it's nuts.
Can't comprehend.
I know. It's pretty weird. But in the meantime, before we start season 4, we're going to take a hiatus, obviously. But in the meantime, we'll be dropping our Bobbies, our sloppy Bobbies. Our Gina Fattori interview, which will be at least a couple of parts.
Yeah, she was very generous with her time. So we'll try to break it up and make it make sense for consumption.
So while we'll be taking a break, it won't hopefully seem as long because we'll be dropping probably an episode like every 2-3 weeks or something.
Yeah, keep an eye tuned to the Instagram account. That's where you'll be notified if and when we're dropping something.
I mean, what else is there to say? Season 3 is your favorite season.
Oh, it was a joy. The season as a whole, incredible. The end of this season, bangers. Every episode, no skips.
No skips. I'm glad that it's as good as it was then. You know, there's joy in that.
So good.
We shouldn't overlook it because not a lot of things are. Like, you can't really watch a lot of stuff and get the same enjoyment from it. So just the fact that we can.
It's true.
And the music's still good and the chemistry's still good. And
there is a huge amount of comfort in that. Like the whole, like, you can't go home again. Things are never the same. Like, to know that you can go back to this and it'll still be enjoyable and give you all the feels. That's worth its weight in gold.
Worth its weight in gold. But we can talk more about season 3 at the Bobbies, obviously.
Obviously. But also, I'm excited, as you were saying, to dive into season 4. The first time around, the anticipation for season 4 was so huge. And I haven't done a rewatch in this way in so long that now I'm like, how will it feel like coming into season 4, coming off of this high? I'm excited. I'm really excited.
Seasons 4 and 6 are the seasons I've rewatched the least. Even season 5, that was the year I started college. Like, they were in college. You know, I was with them and their troops, and I didn't know a lot of people at college at first, so I would like rewatch when I was bored in between classes and stuff. I'd rewatch Dawson, so I feel like I watched season 5 a lot, especially the fall season 5. So seasons 4 and 6 are like kind of uncharted territory a little bit. There was one episode when we first started the pod, I rewatched season 4 prom just because something big happens in that episode and I wanted to remember it. But season 4 is going to be wild. You know, there's some new characters that come, and that's really exciting. New energy, new characters, new haircuts.
And it's a roller coaster. A lot happens.
A lot happens. And like we said, Dawson's different. People are different. I think the writers made a really conscious effort to take the characters in a new, refreshing direction, especially because they've talked about it so much. Like, season 4 is the first season that all the writers... Season 3 was just catch up and it was crisis mode and they were constantly just trying to stay afloat. And they feel like they were all exhausted. But in season 4, they came back and they were like, with a plan.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing. Let's take Jack in this direction. Let's take Dawson in this direction. Let's take Andy in this direction.
And they were able to make big swings because, as Pacey said to Dawson in this episode, like, things are never going to be the same.
Yep.
So we're starting kind of from a whole new place.
I can't wait.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. It has been a really fun three seasons, and we're looking forward to three more.
Adios, muchacho. Muchacha.
Muchacha.
I will see you at the Sloppy Bobbies.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, bye.